Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 20 through 40, 27 through 40. Listen now for God's word to you in these words. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not out of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive. Then some of the scribes answered, teacher, you have spoken well. For they no longer dared to ask him another question. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
We're going to start off this morning with a little video in just a minute. And I want to set this up just a little bit. First of all, some of you may have seen this video before. And if you have, keep it to yourself. Because others need to see it for the first time. And even if you have seen it before, I encourage you to try to look at it as if it's the first time you've seen it. So, there will be a test at the end of it. Actually, it's the little test is within the video. And I hope our technical things work. I was working with our technicians back there this morning, and it worked earlier. So let's hope it works now. So pay attention, okay? You have to pay attention to the instructions and to the video itself, okay? All right, guys.
The monkey business illusion. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball. The correct answer is 16 passes. Did you spot the gorilla? For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half miss the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events. And that's the monkey business illusion. Learn more about this illusion and the original gorilla experiment at theinvisiblegorilla.com.
So how many of you saw the gorilla? How many of you didn't see the gorilla? It's okay. How many of you saw the one black player leave? How many of you saw the curtain change color? You know, sometimes you're just looking at things and you don't see what's right in front of you. And other people see one thing while some see another. I encourage you to go back and watch this again. You can watch it online, as I said, and watch it as many times as you want to. That gorilla's always there. Curtain always changes. Actually, I had seen this video many years ago, and this newer version of it put in the curtain and the other player leaving because so many people had already seen it and were looking for the gorilla. And so when I pulled it up, I was looking for the gorilla, but I did not see the curtain change, nor did I see the other player leave. So what I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about the gorilla in the room. Now, to be more accurate, I want to talk about the donkey and the elephant in the room. I hear the groans. I know you're sick and tired of politics, just like everybody in the country is. And the last place you want to talk or hear about it is church. So we're not going to discuss partisan politics, okay? Because for the most part, our minds were made up a long time ago, and no persuasion of any kind will convince anybody to change their minds at this point in our process. And I don't even want to talk about Tuesday. The only thing I want to say about Tuesday is to encourage you to vote. If you haven't already voted, get out there and vote. That's all I'll say about Tuesday. Because what I want us to consider this morning is I want us to consider Wednesday. On Wednesday morning, the earth will continue to rotate. On Wednesday morning, the sun will rise in the east. On Wednesday morning, across the globe, at the appointed times, a new day will begin. Regardless of who wins or loses, whatever election, Wednesday will come. But regardless still, much of the division, the suspicion, the animosity, the anger, and in some cases hatred that has grown from months and even years of rancor and vitriol will still be with us. On Wednesday, and our challenge as followers of Jesus, as human beings, will be to diligently seek a way through this muck and mire that we have created. Jesus often found himself in similar situations, and his in this conflict, this ongoing conflict that he had with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees and with other political and religious leaders of his day. And just a few moments ago, we heard a story about how the Sadducees tried to bait and trick Jesus into stumbling in order to invalidate his teachings. Does that sound familiar? The They proposed this ridiculous scenario of a woman with multiple husbands in heaven trying to figure out who's married to who. Now, first of all, you need to know this story is not about marriage. It has nothing to do with marriage. This is a ridiculous scenario created by the Sadducees in order to get Jesus to trip up in his teachings about resurrection. Because in the first place, and the story tells us this, the Sadducees don't even believe in resurrection. But they create this ridiculous scenario just to see what Jesus will say. From the beginning, this whole thing is a setup. It's a straw man question. And Jesus, as usual, does not take the bait. He doesn't take it. Instead, he responds with something that they do believe. They don't believe in resurrection, but he knows they believe in Moses and the law. And he uses Moses as an example. He reminds his questioners that with God, there is no division between life and death, just as with Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are all alive in God's eyes. That God is God of the living, among whom are those that we think of as dead. And this is also a reminder that the living includes the entire human family, past, present, and future. With God, there is no yesterday or tomorrow. With God, there is no Tuesday or Wednesday. With God, there is only today. In God's presence. And today, we are called to love God with body, mind, and spirit. Today, we are called to love ourselves and then to love our neighbors. Regardless of our many differences, we are still, each and every one of us, members of the human family, created in God's image. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus proclaims is a place where, and somebody reminded me of this week, and we often kind of laugh at it and treat it as so innocent. But they reminded me years ago of those terrible riots in Los Angeles. And the man who was at the center of all of that, Rodney King, do you remember what he had to say? He said, "Why can't we all just get along?" And that the kingdom of heaven is akin to this. Why can't we just get along? Some of us might even call that civilization. Why can't we just be civilized? Why can't we just be civil? And to be civil is to live with mutual respect. Love, compassion, kindness, and mercy, even when we differ. I Irish poet Michael Longley is known for his prophetic voice during the height of conflict in Northern Ireland between Catholics and Protestants, between the IRA and the British and other factions. And one of Michael's poems was called All of These People. Before reading it, I will give just perhaps a little commercial message. This week's On Being with Krista Tippett, which plays on NPR, is an interview with Mr. Longley that I would encourage you to find on the internet and listen to. Listen to this poem entitled, All of These People. Who was it who suggested that the opposite of war is not so much peace as civilization? He knew our assassinated Catholic greengrocer who died at Christmas in the arms of our Methodist minister, and our ice cream man whose continuing requiem is the 21 flavors children have by heart. Our cobbler mends shoes for everybody. Our butcher blends into his best sausages, leeks, garlic, and honey. Our corner shop sells everything from bread to kindling. Who can bring peace to people who are not civilized? All of these people, alive or dead, are civilized. Civilization, the kingdom of God, it is not a place void of conflict and differences where everybody is the same and agrees all the time. Jesus' kingdom is a place of shared human dignity, where diversity is held together by hope, respect, compassion, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, and love of all people. And this is the Wednesday morning that we are called to. This is the Wednesday that we strive to live every day. Jesus shows us the way, my friends, and calls us to lead the way in the world around us. So, how appropriate that today we come to the table. We come to the table where we are invited to remember who we are. We are invited to remember Jesus, who tells each and every one of us that we are members of the human family, the kingdom of God. Amen. My friends, the gift we have to give is Jesus. As followers of Jesus, as Christians who bear Christ, that's who we are. We are Christ bearers. It's the gift that we have to give to each other and to the world. And on Wednesday, the world's going to need that gift. I can't help but think of some lyrics from a song that some good friends of ours, some bluegrass musicians in Nashville, wrote. And all I can remember is the last phrase. The song is, "We've got work to do." And the last phrase of that song says, "Sweet Jesus, take me by the hand." Because we've got work to do. Sweet Jesus, take me by the hand and help me spread through all the land. We've got work to do. And we do. And it won't be easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. Because all we have to do is go just a couple of chapters later into Luke, and those same Sadducees and Pharisees were plotting his death. But he didn't let that change his course. He continued to love. He continued to love with justice and mercy. Let us go from this place this morning, my friends, because we've got work to do. And sweet Jesus, take us by the hand. Amen.